Good morning. I am Rick, obviously not Kevin this morning, and here to lead you through our morning service at High Point Church. And my name is Rick Tegas, and you've probably seen me up in front a few times. This is my first time in front of the camera like this, so bear with me if I make any first-time rookie mistakes. But I would have you go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, please, and also find 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're just going to talk about community and what's the purpose of our community this morning. So let me pray and we'll get started. Lord, I just ask that you would speak through me, that everything that you've put on my heart for this morning, that it would flow out, and that I would uplift and edify the community that you have put us in at High Point. And just speak through me. I ask blessing on everyone at High Point, whether they're listening this morning or not. Just continue to bless them. Bless the leadership of High Point. Lord, may we as a community continue to lift you up in our community here in Graham and Puyallup. We just thank you for all the blessings that you give us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, since the start of COVID, one of the big things that is missing is the fact that we don't get together. We're not together, obviously, because we're supposed to social distance and stay apart. And that's a big part of community, is coming together. And, you know, as we start to get back together again, one of the things that occurred to me is, are we, even before the pandemic, are we really functioning as the community that God intended? Are we fulfilling the purpose of our community? And also, even as we get back together again, here we are, we're going to be in a new building. We have this new tool to use for ministry. And truly, though, is our community going to be using that tool to its full purpose? And so I guess the question I have is, what is the purpose of our community? What has God got planned for us as a community at High Point? You know, when I was growing up, I grew up in a small town farming community in eastern Washington. And in summer, we played Little League Baseball. And one of the best parts of Little League Baseball is the games always got done about 8 o'clock, right around dusk and everything. And right after the game, everybody went to the drive-in. And everyone loved to go to the drive-in. And we, you know, you get a hamburger and some onion rings or fries and a milkshake and sundae and all the fun stuff that goes with going to the drive-in. And everyone went together, and usually it was even players from both teams would be there, and we'd talk with them. And there was just that community that was formed around that. You know, today they have a snack time, right? They have, you get a juice box and a granola bar or something. I don't know about you, but I'd feel pretty gypped if I knew what I got back when we were young, that's all you really get. But still, how many kids have you seen that snack time is like their favorite part of the whole thing, right? I mean, they kind of are okay to be there for the game, and they're kind of, you know, going through the motions. But snack time, that's the really fun part, and everyone gets excited. And, you know, one of my questions is, have we joined High Point, and are we a part of the community just for snack time? That we're just here just to kind of go through the motions, but then when we get to snack time, yeah, that's when we really want to participate. And is that really the point? Is snack time the point of what we're getting together? And obviously it's not. God has way higher plans for our community than just snack time. We're going to turn to Ephesians 4. I already had you turn there. And we're going to start in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. And he says in verse 11, "And he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the training of the saints in the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ." Let me repeat verse 12 again. "For the training of the saints in the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ." See, this is what our purpose is that the pastors and the leaders of our church, what they're supposed to be doing is they're supposed to be training us so that we can do the work of the ministry that will ultimately build up the body of Christ, to prepare God's people for works of service. That's what they are doing. Verse 13, "Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's likeness. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. From Him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of every individual part. And every individual part is us. We're the parts of the community that are coming together to truly become the church, become this community that is going to become like Christ and to take Christ out into our community. In short, people, we're supposed to become a community that's a team that is forcefully advancing the kingdom of God. Forcefully advancing the kingdom of God into our community at large. Our community cannot, when I say High Point, our community, we cannot have anyone standing on the sideline. We can't have half the team out there. We have to have the whole team out there forcefully advancing, getting in the game. And why do you play the game? You know, when I was young, my mom used to say, oh, it doesn't matter who wins or loses the game. And my dad used to say, the heck, it doesn't. And yeah, winning and losing is a big deal here because it's life and death. When you really step back and look at it, there's so much death in our community. And we're trying to bring life, that is Christ, to them. It's life and death. We need to win this game. Our team needs to be able to advance and win. But have we really become that team yet? Has High Point become that team that is really ready to advance as a community? And I don't know if we really have got there yet. I think that we have a lot of us that are still on the sideline waiting for snack time. We've got to get in the game and start to prepare to win. Now, if you have a team that's going to win, one of the things you got to have are coaches, right? You got to have somebody that's leading the whole thing. So who are the coaches? Well, Kevin and the other leadership of High Point, those are our coaches, and they've been ordained by God. They've been given the task to lead us, to lead all of us as High Point. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Again, when you say that, it says, obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. And my question is, how many of us are joys to our leaders and how many of us are burden? We're a burden. We're not helping advance. In fact, we're holding the whole community back. We're holding the whole church back because we're a burden. God has picked our leaders to lead us. We have to be willing to obey them and be a joy to them. If our coaches ask us to get into the game, that's the same thing as God asking us to get into the game. You know, when Jesus picked his team, if you go back in history and you look at God and Christ when he was picking the apostles, where did he go? Did he go to the synagogues and the temple? And did he go pick like some Jewish teachers and leaders and their students or anything? No, he just picked common people. Why? Why did he go to the common people? Well, first of all, because they were willing to do it, because they were teachable, because they didn't quit, because each one of them had a destiny, and also each one of them brought something different to the team. And if you look across the apostles, you'll see all of them have different personalities and different giftings. And each of them were doing, a lot of them were doing a lot of different types of jobs because they were different men. They had different personalities. And in our church, we have the same thing. As we come together, we're a group that has a whole lot of different personalities and gifts and talents. And all of us are being knitted together as one body to move forward. So who picks the High Point team? God does. See, God has brought us together for a destiny. He's brought us together as a church to advance in our community. Jesus picked us for this time. And you might be going, wow, that seems a little heavy, Rick. I don't think that God has really got that kind of thing on me. And I, you know, I'm really not a part of that and everything. And you know, I'm not a professional. I'm not, you know, a ministry guy or anything. Whoa, time out. if you go back and we look at what God's Word says, you're going to see something completely different. Now, in the Old Testament, the priests were the ones that did all of the work. They did the sacrifices, and they took care of the temple, and they did all of those kinds of things. And they were kind of a go-between between God and the people. They were the pros, and then you had all the rest of the people. But who are the priests in today's church? Is it Kevin? Is he the priest? Well, no. Actually, when we start to look at what Scripture says, it's us. We're the ones that have to get into the game here. 1 Peter 2, 4-10 says this, "As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Offering spiritual sacrifices. Does that mean we're supposed to have some lambs that we're supposed to sacrifice? No, it's us. It's our body. It's us taking our talents. It's us taking our gifts and using them for God's purposes. Verse 9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood." That's us. "A holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as a believer, you are a part of the holy priesthood. You're a part of a holy nation, a people of God. And as us together, what we have to do then is come together to advance God's kingdom. Well, and you can say, well, boy, Rick, that seems, I'm not sure that, I'm still not sure about this. What can, I just don't know if I have anything that's really required to be able to do this. Well, here's what I would respond with. In light of the resources of God, I refuse to accept my limitations. See, I might be limited, but God isn't. God's got everything that's needed. And if I go out in His name, He's going to show up in a big way. Let me say it again. In light of the resources of God, which are infinite, I refuse to accept my limitations. And as a community, we could read this as, in light of the resources of God, we refuse to accept our limitations. So we might feel like we can't, but God can. We need to get our eyes off of what we can't do and recognize what He can do through us when we get into the game. Remember, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And that's, of course, in Philippians. So, okay, so you might be now going, okay, Rick, I got to get in the game. I get it. Where do I go? What do I got to do? Well, the first thing is, if you join a team and if you're going to play anything, what's the first thing you got to do? You got to know the rules and get the fundamentals down. That's the first thing you got to do. So what we want to do as a church, and this is something that Kevin hits on all the time, is we've got to get our fundamentals down. We have to have those down cold where we can utilize the fundamentals of our faith. And here's some of the fundamentals. First of all, knowing what we believe. John 14:6 says, "Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's about understanding and knowing the gospel and knowing who God is. The second one is prayer. Luke 18:7 says, "And you will not, and will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, excuse me, He will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth?" Prayer is where we are communing with God. We're talking with Him. And we have to be able to do that. We have to practice that on a daily basis. The third fundamental is knowing the Word. 2 Timothy 2:16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And again, knowing Scripture and being able to recall it and know it is ultimately how we learn who God is and what He wants from us. Worship is the next one. 1 Chronicles 16:29, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. bring an offering, and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. By us worshiping God, not only do we commune with Him and we draw closer to Him, but we draw closer as a community, and we can model for others how we interact with God. The next one is faith. Romans 1:17 says, "For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, even as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Modeling faith and living by faith means being able to accept hardship and very tough circumstances and being able to do it by leaning on God and leaning on our faith in Him. Modeling that, again, modeling that peace that we have for others around us is a big deal, and we have to have that fundamental down. And finally, the last one is giving or tithing. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there might be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." We have to have that spirit of giving, of wanting to give away to God and to others. And that's a big deal of our fundamentals. And as we get our fundamentals all down, then as we get into ministry and as we get into the game and as we start to advance, all of these things, God's going to use all of these fundamentals as we interact with others around us and as we minister to our community. So the next thing you might be saying then, okay, I got my fundamentals down, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know if there's really a part for me. I'm not sure how I'm important to the team. I'm probably the one that I can't be used. Well, that's not what God's Word says. God's Word says all of us have a part. And what it says, we're going to now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I had you hold on to that spot. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 14. And it says, "So the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' in spite of this, it still belongs to the body." People, you can't opt out. You're a part of the body. Once you become a believer, you are a part of the body of Christ. And as you come into High Point, you become a part of the body of High Point. You can't opt out. God's Word says that you're important. The whole body is important. Verse 17, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed each one of the parts in one body just as He wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet one body." See, what he's saying is we can't all be the quarterback. We can't all be the center on the basketball team, and we can't all be the pitcher on the baseball team. It doesn't work like that. There's got to be, all the positions have got to be filled out. And so we have to make sure that we understand that there's going to be times where we're not going to be the one that's up front or whatever, but that doesn't mean that they're not all important. Verse 21, all the positions are important here. Verse 21, "So the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' or again, the head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' But even more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. And those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we clothe these with great honor. And our unpresentable parts have a better presentation. But our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving great honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other." Just because you're not up in front on Sunday morning doesn't mean you're important. And in fact, what it's saying is that actually you're probably more important than those that are up front. That's the body working together. And there are some very important parts of our body that are required for us to live that are maybe not something we think about a lot or that's up front and center, but it's super, super important to our body. And that's exactly how the body of Christ works, and it's exactly how the body in our church works. Verse 26, "So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it." In other words, people, one win, all win. We're all a part of the same team. If the kicker goes out and misses the field goal at the end, it's not just him that loses, the whole team loses. If the guy strikes out at the end, it's not just him, everybody loses. And then the same point, if one person on the team wins, everybody wins. And that's, we're the body together. And as we advance, we all take the wins and losses together as one body. We come together as a community and advance together. That's how we win, and that's what our strength is. So who decides what part I'm supposed to play? How am I supposed to determine, you know, what part do I play in this? Well, ultimately, God is, and also then our coaches are going to help us. Our coaches are going to put us in areas where they believe that we can be the best and we can help the body win. We can help the team advance. But ultimately, people, we have to be realistic too about what our gifting is. And we're going to talk about gifting in just a second, but we have to be realistic about what we can and can't do, because there's going to be things that maybe we're just not equipped to be able to do and other things that we are. Occasionally, even, we may be asked to play a part that really isn't our primary, the best thing that we do. You know, it was said for years in Major League Baseball that the best shortstop in Major League Baseball was playing third base for the New York Yankees. And that was because Alex Rodriguez was a great shortstop, but when he went to the Yankees, they already had a Hall of Fame shortstop in Derek Jeter, so he moved to third for the sake of the team because they both couldn't play shortstop at the same time. And that's the way it is with the church. At times, we're going to be asked to go outside of ourselves and help in other ways because that's what the body needs. That's what the church needs. That's what the team ultimately needs. Now, when we talk about gifts and gifting, everyone that has accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you all have spiritual gifts. And chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, it talks about spiritual gifts and those that are given by the Holy Spirit. In fact, in verse 11, it says, "But one and the same Spirit is active in all these, in all the gifts, distributing to each person as He wills." As the Holy Spirit decides, He distributes spiritual gifts. We don't get to choose that. God has given us talents, and then the Holy Spirit has also given us spiritual gifts. And they're there again to advance God's kingdom. Now, there's several lists in the Bible of spiritual gifts. You can find them in Romans chapter 12 or 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's actually two lists there. Ephesians chapter 4. So there's a lot of different lists and everything. But I don't really believe that those lists are completely exhaustive. And in fact, I think throughout history, there's other gifts that have come to the forefront. And what I mean by that is that if you go back in time, in biblical times, you didn't have computers and technology and some of the machinery you have today. But I believe that there's spiritual gifts that are being utilized by people in doing and utilizing computers and multimedia and other things and production type stuff today that the Holy Spirit has charged those, and they're using those for great effect in God's kingdom. But of course, they didn't have that stuff back in biblical times. So there are things that are being utilized today in our spiritual gifts that, you know, might not have been available then. So I don't think this is an exhaustive list, but I just like to go through what the gifts are that are mentioned in the Bible real quick. And I'm going to put them into two lists. The first list is what I'm going to call the sign gifts. Now, the sign gifts are those that there's a very, it's very much, there's a supernatural component to each one of them. And those are prophecy, healing, miracles, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. And I'm going to add one more that's an office, apostle, to that group. And those are a group of gifts that there are some that would believe that those have ceded. They've ended. That in biblical times, they were certainly relevant and God used them, but God has decided for whatever reason not to utilize those today. And there's some people that believe that, and there's some people that I feel are very, very good Bible teachers that believe that. And there are some that very good Bible teachers that believe, on the other, that all of those gifts are still active today. And High Point, here at High Point, all we say is that, you know, God can do what He wants to do, and we're not going to necessarily say that all those gifts aren't actually in practice today. And there probably is at least one person out there that'll say that I might have the gift of tongues or prophecy. But High Point as a community has decided not to emphasize those in our community. So in church service and as we get together, the decision was for the sake of unity is to not emphasize those sign gifts. Now, the other biblical gifts that are listed are things like serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy, wisdom, knowledge, faith, helps, administration, evangelism, and pastor. Now, you might be wondering, okay, well, how do I know which gifts I have? Well, there's a few different ways you can do that, and there are some books out there that can help you. You can actually find some books on spiritual gifts, and those can help you identify what you are, and there's some tests that you can take, actually, that will identify what you might be better at, kind of like career assessment tests, similar type tests to that. But here's some other ways you can also do it. First of all, you may already know or recognize spiritual gifts that you have simply by, as you've gone into ministry, that you're good at certain things. Maybe it's evangelism, it's talking with other people about the gospel, maybe it's administration or helps, and other people have come to you and said, hey, man, you're so good at that, you were such a tremendous help. So, excuse me, you may already know what you have just based on ministry experience. Another way to figure that out would be to ask others around you. Just ask those people around you, hey, how do you see me? What gifting do you see that I have that I should be utilizing for God's kingdom? Asking the leaders in our church, how do they see you and how do they see you fitting in? And finally, just praying to God to reveal them to you. And as you get into ministry, God will reveal those to you. Those will become apparent that you are good at certain things, and it's going to be obvious that God is supercharging those, that He has given you a spiritual gift. What I want to leave you with is just four takeaways on spiritual gifts, and that is, one, the Holy Spirit gives the gifts as He chooses. Two, all believers have spiritual gifts. Three, they are intended to serve God's kingdom. And four, your community vitally needs you to utilize those gifts for the community to advance God's kingdom. Okay? So now we get to game time. We got our fundamentals down. We've got our spiritual gifts. We're refining those. We've decided to get into the game. What do we got to do? The big thing is we got to execute. We got to get into the game. We got to actually execute and utilize all that we've been preparing for. You know, on execution, legendary football coach John McKay was once asked after a particularly terrible game for his offense about the execution of his offense. McKay thought about it a second and replied, "Frankly, I'd be in favor of it." Now, obviously not a good day for his offense. And you know what? There's going to be times where even in ministry, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. And we're going to feel maybe even a little bit defeated because it's been a hard day in ministry. But ministry is not always going to be a bed of roses. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be where everything is going to fit together. But if we continue to work together, that execution will get better and everything will start to move better. Great teams do it over and over and over again. They drill and they drill, they play and they play, and ultimately that execution gets better. They adapt in adversity, they change personnel if they're needed. Sometimes someone's tired or hurt and we have to bring somebody else in, but ultimately everyone still continues to move forward. And as we continue to move forward, that's where God is going to show up and He's going to do great things through us. You know, finally, I just want to say that a true and a strong relationship with God will necessarily create community. If we grow in our relationship with God, it's going to grow our community and a desire to share and expand it. This community, ultimately, as we do that, it's going to attract people like a moth to a flame, to the light, because people can feel it. They can feel the community. They can feel the relationship. And they can feel how this community works together and how much they care about each other. It's not just about being friends, and it's not just about snack time. It's about really getting in the game and getting into ministry and ministering in hard, tough ways. And again, forcefully advancing the kingdom of God. And it's forming a deep camaraderie. in camaraderie, I'd like to read what a great quote, and it's from a eulogy by New York Fire Department Captain James Gormley, and he had a eulogy on another fire department captain that had died. And here's what he said about camaraderie. Some people equate camaraderie with being jovial. It is anything but. Camaraderie is sharing hardship. It is shouts and commands, bruises and cuts. It is a sore back and lungs that burn from exertion. It's heat on your neck and a pit in your stomach. It's a grimy handshake and a hug on wet shoulders when you're safe. It's not being asleep when it's your turn at the watch. It is trust. It is respect. It is acting honorably. It's coming together and utilizing those gifts in hard times and in ministry. And that's what's going to take our community to a completely new level. Forcefully advancing God's kingdom is going to deepen our commitment to God. It's going to deepen our commitment to each other. And it's going to deepen our commitment to help those that are in need. It'll galvanize us into a force that will literally make the enemy shudder, knowing that High Point is working so well together as a community that it cannot be stopped. That's the purpose of our community. I want to leave you with four challenges today. They're going to be able to do that supercharging of our community. As we come together after the pandemic, as we come together in a new building as a community, if we can take these four challenges and really perform on them, it's amazing what can happen through High Point. First is, everyone is required for High Point to answer God's call. Commit to God today your time, your talent, and your treasure. Second, get your fundamentals down. Work on them on a day-by-day basis so you've got the fundamentals and you're ready when you get into the game. Third, identify your spiritual gifts and refine them. Fourth, make yourself available to be used. You got to actually make yourself available. Ask, what can I do? Where can you plug me in? And five, with all due respect to Nike and Phil Knight, just do it. We've got to get in and actually get in the game and go out and do it. We can't sit on the sidelines anymore. If all of us together take these to heart, Graham Puyallup is not going to know what hit them. There's going to be this church that's going to explode out of this pandemic. It's going to explode from this new building, and it's going to bring light and peace to our community. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that as a community that we truly can come together and that we can have a 100% participation in our community and doing what we're supposed to do, that our body is 100% working together to forcefully advance your kingdom in our community. And I just pray that you would just bless everyone in our community. Continue to give them insight into their gifting and give them that courage and that commitment to move forward in your name. We just thank you for all that you've blessed us with. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Take care. Think about those challenges, and they'll be on the screen. Thank you. God bless.